Easy does it. Your cool guide to investing.
What do we need to know about DJ at Large and your story? Tell us a little bit about your journey.
I'm the kind of person that tries to take an opportunity before it presents itself. So I'm always the person that creates things. I don't necessarily like to be in the front of things, but I like to be in the back end of things. So when I, you know, got into university, I became very interested in financial literacy and financial education, just based off the conversations I was having with mates. The things that say, the amounts of money they were spending, and I became so interested and I wanted to create a space for us to have conversations about money, and I had to create that opportunity. So I didn't have somebody that was going to fund me to create this thing, but I needed to reach out to Easy Equities and all the other brands and all the other speakers, and so I needed to put myself out there. So I've always been that type of person that tries to create their own opportunities.
Welcome to Easy Does It, a podcast by Easy Equities, where we simplify money and investing. No jargon, no complications. Your cool guide to investing. Easy. Easy.
My name is DJ At Large. Thank you so much for pressing play on the Easy Does It podcast, your cool guide to investing. And today we're doing things a little different. Most of the time when I have a chat with Carly, it's online, she's in Cape Town, probably, you know, at the beach while chatting to me, and I'm in this concrete jungle. But she's in studio. Couple of changes, couple of things. Carly, it's good to see you. How are you doing?
It's me. Today, I am your hostess with the mostest, DJ at Large. I'm stealing your job today, and I'm putting you in the hot seat. And I'm so excited to be in Jersey and to spend some time with you, because this is actually going to be, drumroll, our last Easy Does It podcast for a while. That is also because you are spreading your wings.
100%. Things change.
You do great things.
100%. So I'm sitting on the other side for the first time, which is very weird and interesting, but I'm handing it over to you.
Please don't act like you're not a natural. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm Carly Esterhazen. I'm the VP of brand at Easy Equities, and I've known this guy for quite some time. Do you remember when we met? When was the first time you and I met?
Oh my God. I don't remember the exact time, but I've known you, I'd say even close to 10 years, because I'm remembering all the different places that I was at and what was going on in my life at that point in time. And we were always in communication.
Yeah.
So it was a really long time.
We've been kicking it for quite a while. And I think the first time we met in person, because we've been following each other on social media like forever. But the first time I met you in person was at one of your Youth Money Circle events.
Yeah.
And I think I spoke at one of those events and got to actually meet you in person. And
It's been love ever since.
It's been love, baby. But I mean, Tipo, you are quite an incredible person. You have come from like a TV and radio background. You're a speaker. You run Youth Money Circle initiatives, among other things. You've been a huge friend to the Easy Equities family from day one, I think. And you're a passionate investor. Like, you're really genuinely passionate about empowering people in their finance journey. And I think that that's incredible. So today I actually want to really learn a bit more about you.
Okay.
Because I'm sure you've got some fans out there.
I hope so.
By now, I'm pretty sure you do. And you always kick things off with a random money question.
Yeah.
So I'm going to kick things off with a random money question, but I'm going to do it Carly style.
Okay. So I'm game for anything.
In my house, we've got a little bit of a tradition when you're sitting around a dinner table, or if it's a family event and you're all together for lunch, and we kind of go around the table and we say our best and worst. Okay. So best and worst of the day, best and worst of the week, best and worst of the year. And it's just always interesting to hear the best and worst. So I want to know your best and worst when it comes to money. What has been your best moment, your best lesson, or your worst decision? Or what is your best and worst when it comes to money?
Best decision that I made, and I realized this very early on when I was working on radio and I was doing TV and I was doing a bit of corporate. So I was making quite a lot of money, but every time I made more money, I never changed my lifestyle. which I think helped me quite a lot. So my lifestyle was always the same. And every time I made a bit more money, I just bank it or I'd invest it or I'd save it. And it helped me a lot because sometimes as you're moving up, there's a bit of pressure to show people that you've arrived. You can't be driving this car, you gotta drive a different car. You can't be dressed in this, you gotta wear this. So I never felt that pressure because I got into the habit of keeping my lifestyle the same and then making those changes when I needed to. So I think that was the best thing I've done with my money. The worst is cars. I was at the dealership last week, mind you, looking at something. I'm not gonna get it. I was tempted, but I'm not gonna get it. But I love vehicles, and it's an emotional thing linked to my upbringing.
Yeah.
So I love cars, and they are always the worst decision you can make. Depreciates the moment you drive it. Anything can happen. Insurance is expensive. Fuel's expensive. So yeah, always worst decision is a car.
But you didn't buy the car, right?
I didn't buy it. So I made a good decision.
So you've still got the logical aspect of your brain going like, weigh this up.
Yeah.
And one day it will make sense.
100%.
And you'll be like, I earned this car. I'm going to get a fancy car and I'm going to roll my window down, pump some Dr. Dre, I don't care who knows it.
Yes.
But so for now, you're making good decisions.
So at least from that perspective, I was able to control the emotions.
Yeah. So you mentioned your upbringing, and I wondered if you could tell us a little bit about your story. Like, what do we need to know about DJ at Large and your story? Tell us a little bit about your journey.
How I'd explain it, I'm the kind of person that tries to take an opportunity before it presents itself. So I'm always a person that creates things. I don't necessarily like to be in the front of things, but I like to be in the back end of things. So when I, got into university, I became very interested in financial literacy and financial education, just based off the conversations I was having with mates, the things that say, the amounts of money they were spending, and I became so interested and I wanted to create a space for us to have conversations about money, and I had to create that opportunity. So I didn't have somebody that was going to fund me to create this thing, but I needed to reach out to Easy Equities and all the other brands and all the other speakers, and so I needed to put myself out there. So I've always been that type of person that tries to create their own opportunities across everything, whether it's school, which I'm currently doing my MBA and I had to hustle to get a bursary to be able to make it to happen, doing the corporate stuff that I'm doing. I got the current job I have based on Youth Money Circle. Youth Money Circle led me to this person who's now given me this job with this an amazing organization. So a lot of the things that have happened, I've created that opportunity. But if I didn't put myself out there and make mistakes and knock on people's doors and get a no and get a yes and get a maybe, certain things wouldn't have happened. So who I am, to sum it up, is I'm a person that takes risks.
Sounds like you're pretty tenacious.
I try to be.
So where do you think this passion and curiosity for financial empowerment and kind of financial literacy came from? Is it something in your childhood, how you were raised? I mean, what triggered that in you?
I think what triggered it is just leaving a legacy that was mine. So, you have your parents, you have your grandparents, they live their lives, they have things that they achieve and do. But I wanted to leave my own mark. And one of the ways I wanted to do it is through wealth creation. So like I mentioned earlier on, getting into university, I was doing 6 or 7 of these different jobs, $1,000 here, $2,000 here, $3,000 here. And then I started working on commercial radio where I was making even more money. But then I sign a contract, I don't get medical aid, I don't have an RA. So I'm like, what do I do with all this money? Like, it's coming in, but I need to do something with it. And then I started to read around saving and investing. And I was like, it's too complicated. This is not for a regular Tepo who's 20 years old, who's just this cool guy in university trying to figure things. It's too complex. And then I was like, I need to simplify this for myself. And once I figured it out, I've got to simplify it for the people around me. Because then I was asking my parents for advice and they couldn't really figure it out. And I was asking friends and uncles. And I was like, nobody around me has figured this thing out. But nobody's been honest enough to say they know nothing. So I started educating myself. And then I wanted to simplify it for myself and for the people around me. So that was going on. I wanted to just leave a legacy. But then I just realized there's this big gap. There's a huge issue that people don't understand finance. And I don't blame them because it's too complicated and it's boring and it's dull. And I wanted it to be fun and interesting.
I always kind of think of you as someone who's like a community leader. And you're speaking about learning about finance and empowering yourself and asking people. I've actually found that to be the case on my own personal journey. I've learned so much about financial literacy, investing, money, not from one opinion or one book, but from a collective of different opinions from different people. And hearing things from people like me, people who are my age, people who are dealing with the same challenges that I'm dealing with, because I think the stuff that we're dealing with now is quite different to the challenges that maybe our parents had, you know? So I think that you are quite a leader in that space. I mean, maybe you can just talk a little bit about Youth Money Circle and what that initiative is.
Yeah, so Youth Money Circle essentially is, you know, an innovative project that I created where I wanted to get into spaces where I could talk about finance and I can simplify it and make it fun. So it started off as events. You know, we'd host these free events, we'd have a DJ, we'd have popcorn, we'd have slush, we had games, and we just brought in 100 young people into a room to talk about money. But we'd play games and we'd bring in speakers who can relate to young people, who can tell a story, who didn't come with a big presentation and a suit and tie and made everything so complicated. So I just created a space for young people to learn about money together, collectively, as a group, but to make it fun. And funny enough, Easy Equities was the first company to invest in this vision. My first event was with Easy Equities. Easy Equities took the risk and said, you've never done this before, but you're passionate, and so we'll work with you. And then other brands came, and I had an opportunity to invite so many amazing speakers within the financial education space, celebrities, influencers. I mean, we've hosted close to 7 or 8 of these events. I've then done work with the JSE as well. And then it led into other things. It led to collaborations with banks and big brands, me creating content for them, doing webinars for them, voicing videos, you know, structuring some of their content, going into their strategy sessions and saying, this doesn't make sense, you need to structure it this way. It led to me getting the current job that I have as well. It led to me connecting with brands internationally. So this small little thing where I was like, I just want to teach my friends about money and be in the room with them, led to so many things along the way. And the podcast happens to be one of them as well, where, you know, once again, I came to Easy Equities and I said, I've got this goal, I've got this dream. I think you guys have the same goal and dream. Can we create the Easy Does It? Which is a space for people to build a relationship with their money and start to invest without making it complicated and boring and all of that. So yeah, that's a summary of Youth Money Circle and what we've done with it.
We've walked such a journey together. I mean, I seem to have these memories of me dressing you up in a superhero outfit.
Yeah.
When you had your own basket.
100%.
On the platform. That was a lot of fun. And of course, the podcast has been such a fun journey with you. You've been an incredible host. I think you're so relatable to so many different people. And we have had so many different people on the podcast. So tell me if you have any favorite moments since you've been doing this podcast, any like real moments that stood out for you while you've been doing it, or any speakers that you go like, that was kind of a game changer, or, you know, that made me think about something differently.
You know what I've always loved, Kylie, and it's across all our guests. When you start recording the podcast, it's very serious and the person is like prim and proper and they've got their notes. But once you get into the conversation, people forget. And it's like, we're just having a conversation. So the moment I get to connect with that person and they don't look at their script and their notes and they just start to speak from the heart, for me, those are the moments that I love the most. Because then people are authentic and they're real and everything is just coming out in a beautiful way. So in almost all the conversations I've had, that's always happened, where somebody reveals something they didn't intend to reveal. Nothing bad, but it gives us a different aspect to who they are in relation to investing and money. So that's the thing for me that I absolutely love, when the person forgets and they just have a conversation.
The realness
comes out.
Because we've all got these kind of walls.
Yeah.
And we try to be perfect and we think that that's what people want to hear. But actually, we just want to be real with each other and just hear real stories.
And people can hear. People can hear when it's scripted and it's not real. And when the person is just speaking from the heart.
Yeah. Any particular guests that, you know, stand out for you in terms of the people that are featured?
One of the guests I really enjoyed featuring was Bruce Whitfield.
Yeah.
The way his mind thinks. And he's so hilarious. Yeah, I absolutely loved that interview. I love the interview with Ivan Sambo as well. Because that discussion with him was about investing. But it's more about life. and making investing so relatable to the ordinary person. So those two interviews for me stand out for different reasons. But yeah, the realness and the rawness and the emotions, because investing is such an emotional ride.
Right,
totally. And when people talk about it, I really enjoy that aspect.
So why don't you tell us a bit about your own investing journey?
Ooh.
Where it started, the lessons you've learned, regrets, goals, what's your favorite share? Tell us everything. Give us a download on your investing journey.
Oh gosh,
where it is now.
My first share was Capitec and ShopRite. I was listening to one of the radio shows and they were talking about this bank. I was like, oh, this bank is a little bit dingy. I've seen it at the mall. But like, I was reading about it and I'm like, they've got a good strategy. I can see where they're going with it. And I'm starting to see different branches. I eventually opened up an account there. I was like, I can see where it's going. And there's something about owning the share and then still going into the bank or into the store or buying the brand that almost creates a link between the investing and that organization. Mm. So that's where it basically started for me. I'm a very risky investor, but I'm starting to change because my life is starting to change. So as my life adapts, my risk strategy and my risk appetite is starting to change. So lots of shares, ETFs. I'm big on alternative investments. So the crypto, the livestock, the gold, the things that people wouldn't necessarily invest in. I'm looking at art, I'm looking at wine. That's where my headspace is at now.
Now we're speaking my language.
So that's the stuff that I'm looking at. But yeah, a risky investor. I like to try things out. I like to give everything an opportunity. This is the really important thing when it comes to investing. You don't know everything. So I do my research. I don't put myself under pressure. I ask the questions. I test things out, a little bit of skin in the game. I'm that type of investor. But my portfolio is starting to change. So as I start to get into my 30s and I'm now considering starting a family and getting married, and now I'm starting to buy properties, and now I'm starting to be like, I need a bit more stability in my portfolio. It can't be risky. I'm not 20 anymore where I have time to take risks. So yeah, that's what my portfolio looks like now.
I think when you're an investor, you just always have to stay curious.
Yes.
You can never be like, I know it all. That's when you get yourself into trouble.
And look, the mistakes are part of it as well. You know, so there's shares that I've bought that have been horrible, you know, where things have gone horribly wrong. Or it could have been that there was so much hype about it on social media and I decided to buy a little bit of it and it didn't work out, or I didn't understand what the business is about and I still risk some money. So there's also mistakes as well. So I'm definitely not a perfect investor. The mistakes are there as well, but it's important to learn from them and then to apply things differently as you go forward.
Yeah, and when you can do that with 50 Rand, you know, when you're just starting out, especially, I think that really helps because you get to learn so much in the doing.
Yes.
And it sounds like you've got some really sound principles going on. I mean, if you're investing in wine and shares, it's like a good diversification, man.
We're definitely trying.
Let me know which wine you're investing in. I might sample some for you just to give you my analysis.
Look, we'll talk about that and maybe even have a glass of wine.
I like this. I like this. So, Large, tell us, what does the future hold for you? What is on the horizon? I mean, we wish you all the best in your future endeavors. I have no doubt that whatever you touch is going to turn into a success. You've got the most incredible energy, passion, dedication, commitment, and you're pretty smart. So I think you're going to do just fine. But tell us, if you can, what the future looks like for you, and I hope you're not going to be a stranger.
Definitely not. So I'll definitely be working with Easy Equities in the future. I mean, it's been for the last 10 years. It might be in a different way, but definitely still. I'm still going to be working in the financial education space. God has been great that I work in that space, even from a corporate point of view. So I'm still going to be working in financial education. I want to be a little bit far removed from being in the front. I want to be in the back and have those serious conversations and make things work. Will I potentially have another podcast? I don't know. The one thing that I'm really curious about is telling my story from the viewpoint of a 30-year-old. In my 30s, I've made some crazy and wild decisions. I bought my first property, my first joint property. I've gotten into a serious relationship. I'm considering marriage. There's so many decisions that you make as a young 30-year-old. And I'm like, I need to have conversations about these things. So it's not necessarily about money, but more about some of the things that I'm doing that intersect with money. And that's what I'm thinking about. But I'll still be in the space. I'll still be working with the brands. I'll still offer myself out to those that want education or want to participate. And Youth Money Circle will still exist as well. So we'll always be in the spaces where we are asked to enter or where people are willing to collaborate and to partner with us.
When you said I bought my first joint property, I thought you were just going to say I bought my first joint. And I thought this conversation is going in a very different direction than what I thought, but I'm here for it. Like,
I get you definitely. So yeah, man, well, the 30s have been interesting.
They have been. I'm in my last year of my 30s. Can you believe it?
Whew, we're getting old.
Never say, would you?
At all.
But I wish you, and I know the whole Easy family wishes you all the absolute best. For anyone who doesn't have your Twitter handle, what is it?
It's at @utsepo_k. And that's across all the platforms.
Guys, follow this guy. You'll want to see what he's up to in the future, because I've got no doubt it's going to be worth watching. And we are here for it. We can't wait to see you grow and to carry on walking in whatever capacity with you in your journey.
Thank you. Can I just say one thank you to somebody, to DX, who's the producer of the podcast. It sounds amazing because of this guy. He took a risk when we started it out. He's adapted to all the changes of Ast, and he's played such a big role in the podcast. So DX at the back, thank you, brother.
Holla, DX. Thanks for your work. We love it.
Thank you for pressing play on the Easy Does It podcast. A big shout out to you for hanging out with us. Don't forget to subscribe. We are on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Let us know what you think of this episode on Twitter and Insta. Our handle is @EasyEquities.